Jude, the book of Jude. I want to announce we will be having a baptismal service here July the 3rd for the night service. July the 3rd. If you've been saved by the grace of God, then I encourage you to be baptized, follow Christ in believers' baptism. And so we will have that service set aside for July the 3rd. Well, if you're glad you're saved tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jude, verse number 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But we need more of that in the Baptist church. Keep yourselves. And if you write in your Bible, that'd be a good verse to underline. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Thank you for standing tonight. I appreciate you standing honoring the reading of the Word of God. Well, I'm interested in that subject on keeping yourselves in the love of God. I want to talk first of all tonight about the heed of keeping. The heed of keeping. Now that's a pretty big chore, as Brother Lee's already said tonight. You know what? We're just sinners saved by the grace of God. We're justified by the grace of God. We're sanctified by the Spirit of God. And I'm glad those that He justifies, that He sanctifies and He glorifies. And I am more convinced tonight than ever that there's no good thing in us but the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad He said that greater is He that is in you? I'm glad that Christ lives in me. And boy, I'm glad when a sinner accepts the Savior and believes on the Lord Jesus. He comes and He makes residence in his life and in his heart. I love justification, sanctification. Justification is what God has done in heaven. Sanctification is what God is doing in our heart. You ought to be closer to the Lord Jesus today than the day when you got saved. Matter of fact, one of the main reasons I know I'm saved, because there's things going on in my heart that went on in heaven yonder years ago. My mom and dad is trying to get things to go on in my heart, but nothing had went on in heaven. But boy, when something went on in heaven, when He justified me by faith, then something got to going on in my heart. And He says, now, I want you to keep yourselves in the love of God. The love of God is amazing. Have you ever thought just really how much God loves you, how much God loves the sinner? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I want to say this tonight. I do not want to belittle the love of God for His Son. But you will have to agree with me tonight, if God gave that He loved, boy, He must love us some kind of way. Because He gave His Son for me and you. And that really encourages me tonight when people don't love me and people really don't care for me. I know it's somebody that cares for me. I'm glad it's somebody that loves me. But here He says, I want you to keep yourselves in the love of God. A lot of people think, well, that's the preacher's position, or that is the preacher's livelihood, that's the preacher's job responsibility. No, as a child of God, we all have this job responsibility. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And so there is the heed of keeping. Now, I want to say this tonight. Evil is best stopped in the beginning. It's easier to crush eggs than to kill snakes. I thought some of you rednecks could relate to that. You know, the heed. You know, a house requires maintenance. When you start seeing a ceiling tile go to turning brown, most of the time that's not age, it's a watermark. And if you don't fix the water, before long they'll be repairing your ceiling. And if you don't fix that, they're going to be repairing your floor and your walls. In other words, it's going to rot down on you. Wouldn't it be a blessing when we see things start coming in our life that we would take care of them the way Christ tells us to do? Now, my nephew's here tonight. His good sister left the battery key on his four-wheeler and run the battery down. I know none of y'all have never experienced nothing like that. But he and I went out to put the battery charger on it, and I told him, I said, John, I'm going to show you how to do this. So I pulled the seat off, and I noticed it was a nest built. And then I seen in the nest something was moving. And Brother Randall, you ought to have been there. Brother Randall loves mice and rats. And it was a nest full. You know, wouldn't it have been a blessing if we could have seen when that nest was a building, we'd have tore it down. Those saying, we can't keep birds from flying over our head, but we can keep them from making a nest in it. And so he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, we ought to examine the present. We have an examination of the present. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16 on keeping ourselves. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 10, we see that we are to take heed of some things, the heed of keeping. And can I tell you, when God writes something down, it'll do us good to take heed. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you don't build on Jesus, your house is going to fall. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or revealed, for the day shall declare it. Now, it's coming a settling day, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, you didn't work your way into heaven, and you can't work your way out of heaven. He said your works would burn, and you still would be saved. And so there is the heed of keeping. We must realize there's coming a reckoning day. And then in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12, in the heed of keeping, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12, I've heard a lot of people say this, well, preacher, not me. Well, let me ask you something. You know why God's give you a preacher? To remind you of some things. And a lot of you get upset when your preacher hounds you and reminds you of some things. But if God didn't love you, He wouldn't be pushing the preacher in the preaching. Now, He sent us something this morning through a young man in a Sunday school message. And if God didn't think enough of us, He never would speak to us His Word. God sent us a word, stronghold. And we better watch ourselves. Now watch, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Quit blaming stuff on the devil, blame you about it. The devil tempts us, but it's up to us whether we fall into temptation. No greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm going to tell you, we are no match for the devil by ourselves. But the Holy Ghost that lives in us gives us power tonight. And let me tell you, He says in every temptation, He's made a way for you to get out of it. Listen, look up here, young ladies. If these little boys get you in a predicament on a date, you got a way out. You got a door handle. Hit your cell phone, call your preacher. I'll come get you. And if your boyfriend don't like it, we'll settle up with it on the side of the road. Amen. Amen. And so don't tell me the devil made you do it. You make yourself do it. And so we ought to realize with every temptation, he's giving you a way to get out of it. And we blame a lot of stuff on the devil didn't do. I know some of y'all don't like that, but it just cost you the same price. 1 Corinthians 10. Now, I got to practice getting mean tonight. I'm going to preach to Cajuns tomorrow. I'll be so mean when I get back, y'all won't be able to stand me 3 weeks. Now, watch this. God is faithful. Can I tell you, He's faithful. He said, if you want to quit doing drugs, you can quit doing drugs. You got to get your want to fixed. Your want to's broke. And if you want some help, the God of glory can help you. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You got to try to help yourself. If pornography's my problem, the last thing I want in my hands is a computer. Or a pay-per-view TV. If drinking's my problem, the last thing I need to do is go by the liquor store on the way home. You got to do a little for yourself. Now, the heed of keeping. Now, not only the examination of the present, but we have some examples of the past. Now, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 10... Well, this is a wonderful verse. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat? Did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they was overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as it were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication." That's why people don't like a King James Bible. It's too plain. You say, "Well, I can't understand the King James Bible." Now, your problem is you can't, it's not that you don't understand it. You just don't want to live by it. You want it sugar-coated. You want some gray areas. That's why I like a King James Bible that's 400 years old, honey. It stood the test of time and it still get the job done. You say, "Well, I can't understand." Well, let me tell you something. My daddy didn't have much of an education, and he wrote his name in boxcar letters, but my daddy could write a letter, and I know what he said. You know how come? Because this my daddy's writing. You know how come I can read a King James? Because my daddy wrote it down years ago. It's a family thing. You see, tonight, there are examples of the past. He said that I've given you some things. He said that some of them committed and fell in one day 320,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. What would we have done, Brother Fitzpatrick? What would we have done if me and you had pastured in the 30s and 40s with no air conditioning? People riding mules and buggies. Go on, put your head down. Young, pray you want to. Some of you ladies had to get up, bust firewood, and get you a fire started and make biscuits this morning. Why, some of you couldn't make biscuits if your life depended on it. You depend on them pop-ums so long you don't even know how to get along. Them toast strudels. and you're probably buying them no fat kind. Now watch this, verse 11. Now all these things happen to them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He said, listen, I have pinned down some things to remind you, to help you. There is the heed of keeping. Now I want to tell you, in Genesis 13 and verse number 10, you'll find Lot's emotions. Lot's emotions. Lot was an emotional fella. And he let his emotions make his decisions. You better let the Word of God make your decisions. Now thank God, I believe when you get saved, you will have some emotion. But let me tell you, our emotions don't keep us saved. Sometimes I don't feel saved, but I'm saved by the grace of God. And so Lot, we find some examples of the past. He had some extreme emotions. In Genesis 13 and verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now Lot led his family into Sodom, but he couldn't lead them out. And you better be careful where you're taking your family tonight. You better be careful where you're taking you. And you know something, I've always noticed this about people in church. Some of you ain't gonna like this. But when it starts leaning, you start looking. And when it starts leaning and you start looking, then you start leaving. You see, when you start leaning, then you start looking for problems. Well, I don't like that preacher. Well, I don't like them people. Well, yang. And then when you lean and you go to looking, before long you'll be leaving. And then the FBI can't find your hide. They don't know where you went to. I tell you where you go, you'll go where Lot went. You'll go to the world. And the world will have your children and your babies. And you better watch your emotions. You better thank God, just like a man stood on the stage this morning and said, we're spoiled. We ought to thank God for what we've got in this church. We ought to thank God for the Word of God that He sends us. We ought to thank Him for the saints of God in our lives and realize we better keep ourselves in the love of God. How many times has our emotion got us in trouble? I'm an emotional type person. I've got a car in my garage. I wish the Lord would send me a buyer. Any of y'all ever bought a Coach pocketbook on impulse? Oh, you didn't like that. Anybody ever bought something that you know you shouldn't have bought just because it was an emotional decision? I mean, I'm an emotional fella. I remember one time I was pulling a boat somewhere and it wasn't hard of what I wanted to pull in a dealership. Signed on the line, come in a little 86 model Jimmy. My wife looked at me and said, where'd we get that? I said, oh, it matches the boat. 465 a month. Boy, before I got out of that thing, I was done billy goat sick. Somebody say amen right there. And we better watch our emotional decisions. Some of you little girls, you get goo-goo eyed over alfalfa with his cow lick. Amen. You better look and see what's on inside alfalfa. Some of you boys looking at that little girl, you done about run off the road. You're gonna make an emotional decision. You better be sure she loves Christ. Examples of the past, the heat of keeping, Lot's emotions. And then not only Lot's emotions, but Peter's ego. Luke 22 and verse 31. Boy, he had something he had to eat some crow about. Luke 22, talking about the heed of keeping now. In Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for you, that your faith fail not. When you converted, strengthen your brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready. I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. We better watch our egos. You know, God's not impressed with personalities. God keeps me humble. God keeps me broken down. And I'm glad, because I don't want God to do nothing around here without me. I want to be used. And I want God to use me to do it. And I'm going to tell you what, we better not only watch our emotions, we better watch our ego. Just what Brother Michael said this morning, oh, we're in a shouting church. I don't know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know of a better church in the Southeast. I promise before you, I don't know. But I'm not going to build you up too high tonight. I can tell you why this church is what it is, because of people, and it's broken people. And ego has no place in ministry. Ego has no place in a marriage. Ego gets people in a lot of trouble. What humbles a good preacher for the Holy Ghost speaks? Say, hey, that Sunday school teacher, let him take your spot this morning. That helps a preacher's ego. Matter of fact, if you'd cry a little bit, your head wouldn't swell so. Some of y'all think you're too big to cry. We ought to weep our way to God and realize without Him we can do nothing tonight. Do y'all think for 1 second what's going on through them stained glass windows out there in that hole the devil's having camp meeting about tonight? I wonder how many people we'll lose. You'll name your price, the devil be sure to get you. You've been offended, you might as well go and leave now. Name your price. Just name your price. You'll get it. We better watch our ego. And let me tell you something. Just because our church is going and growing, we need Him more now than we've ever needed Him in 17 years. Don't you realize how many churches has been bombarded, how many preachers have been bombarded? And the more they fall, the more time His imps has got to dwell here. Boys throwing down King James Bibles. They're going to the world seeking entertainment to build a crowd. We better stay with what works. I wonder how many of you have prayed this week. Wonder how many of you prayed for your preacher this morning. Wonder how many have prayed for me next week on the road in revival. We need each other. I heard a preacher preach this week, said he didn't need his people. I come home, told my wife, I said, Lord Jesus, I need man. Lord God, help me, I need man. I need your fellowship. Peter's ego. Not me, Lord. Not me. You know what he's doing? He's setting himself up for a fall. I told y'all about that rooster I had. I had a game rooster. I wasn't fighting chickens. But I did go get me one. Brother Joe, he is doing all right as long as he's roosting on that small limb, but he got a little cocky. I noticed he got in the top of that tree. And me and Mama went to Megan's one night, and I come in, Brother Matt, in a golf cart, and that rooster's feathers was all over my driveway. An owl got him on that top limb. Ego. He was real safe as long as he's roosting low. Some of y'all didn't get that out. When that night owl come by, buddy, he got him up there on that top limb. Oh, God, help me lest I fall. I'm more convinced tonight, Brother David, than I've ever been preaching on where he said, without me, you can do nothing. We got more education, we got more books, we got more computers, we got less Holy Ghost in the Baptist church than we've ever had. I'm not promoting ignorance. I think a man ought to study to show himself approved. A workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We better believe tonight, God don't use egos. If God's a blessing your ministry, you ought to just thank Him for it. You know what kills me out where I'm preaching? Big preachers and little preachers. Ain't no such thing. Ain't no such thing as a big preacher and a little preacher. The man that's pastoring 10 is going to give an account for the man's pastoring 100. It's what God's entrusted him with. Well, until I'm boring you, I'll ease on. You've been around the grill too long today. I declare I've got to where I just dread holidays coming. The heat of keeping. Oh, some of you probably pout because I didn't stand you up here and sing Happy Father's Day to you today, didn't you? We could have had the meanest daddy in the stage had been full. It ain't about us. Thank God for good daddies. Thank God I had a daddy raised. Thank God. But I'm telling you something tonight that'll help you. There's a God in heaven and never turn His back on you. Lots of emotions. Peter's ego. Ephesians' extravagance. He told the church at Ephesus, he said, you've lost your first love. Said you've run off and you've left it. They were sitting in heavenly places. He said, why have you left your first love? You know, nice things will make you forget about God. Take heed. You say they was more concerned about the benefits than the benefactor. Blessings always made us supposed to get us at the feet of God and thank Him. But a lot of times they push us from Him. The heed of keeping. Number two, the deed of keeping. Look what it says. And then I'll be done in a minute or two. The heed, keep, but the deed. Here's a deed, yourselves. I don't know why you're meddling in somebody else's business. You got more than you can say grace over. Yourselves. Don't say nothing about keeping your neighbor right here. He says, you keep yourselves in the love of God. The deed of keeping. Hebrews 2 and verse number 1. Hebrews 2 verse number 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them and heard Him? the deed of keeping. All right, Hebrews 12 and 1, we are to lay aside. 12, verse 1, Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, that verse speaks volumes, does it not? The deed of keeping. We must learn to lay aside. We don't need any weight on us if we're going to run a race. Many weights of the world come upon us. And look what it says, and the sin which does so easily. You know what? We're sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. If a dog barks, it don't make him a dog. He barks because he is a dog. And we sin because we're sinners. And we got to keep this thing of sin tuned up and knocked out. Because it's just like a weed patch, friend. It'll take it over. Things that used to bother some of you don't bother you tonight. There was a man this week in camp meeting. He come to me and he said, "Sir, I'd like to tell you something. Your preaching don't offend me." That was quite refreshing. He said, "If there's anything in my life, I want that book to show it to me. Because I don't want it in my life." The deed we ought to lay aside. And then we ought to cast off in Romans 13 and 12. Romans 13 and 12. The deed of keeping now. The night is far spent. Let's get verse 11. Knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. But when this work of darkness comes upon us, the Bible tells us that we are simply to cast it off. Don't play around with darkness. Don't play around with dark things. For long, it'll be playing you. An alcoholic did not become an alcoholic overnight. He bought one. Somebody left the other day, sent me word, "Well, you can let him know the reason I'm leaving because I believe in social drinking." I don't. The Bible says, "Woe be the man that puts the bottle to his neighbor's lips." I think every bootleg liquor house in the county ought to be closed. It's put a lot of young'uns in an early grave and wept a lot of mom and daddies in funeral homes. But it's okay just to do a little social drinking. Well, I can tell you why, because it gets out of hand. We act crazy enough without it. Lord, I could see some of y'all. I got all the issues I can just trying to live right, Brother Tim. Lay aside and cast off. And in 2 Corinthians 10, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, we are to cast down. Brother Adam spoke to this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. He says, verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We need to learn to cast down. When those thoughts come to our mind, I'm going to be honest with you tonight, that's one of the biggest issues, one of the biggest problems I have is my mind. It's a battleground. I guarantee you right now, the devil's telling me there's 200 people wish you'd hush, and probably 190 do. But it don't change the fact I got to pastor this church and I got to preach. There's no telling what the devil told this young man this morning he got down from here. There's no telling what the devil's told some of you this morning. These lights are flickering and are going off, and a boy comes and gets saved. Don't you realize the devil's trying to hinder the service? Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Thank God. Ain't you glad there's a sovereign God can step over me and you? Ain't you glad there's a God can saw the horns off the devil? Boy, when these imaginations or them thoughts come in our mind, we ought to absolutely cast them down in a hurry. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to think about it. The heed of keeping, the deed of keeping. But then thirdly, and I'll be done, the need of keeping. The need of keeping. Yeah, I want to show you how important this is. And I hope you get this tonight. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. The need of keeping. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and watch, and them that hear thee. It does matter how you live. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous man. But it does matter how you live. Availeth much. The need of keeping. Many shame themselves and harden others. Now, I'm just going to go and tell you now. And it would be a shame that if we put ourselves out of the race with the people that's looking at us. There's no doubt in my heart there are many shame themselves and harden others. I don't want to do that. Look what that Bible says. By doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Doctrine's important. The book. And them that hear thee, the heed of keeping, the deed of keeping, the need of keeping, but lastly, the creed in keeping. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 3. 2 Timothy 2, boy, this is a great verse, and I'm done. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The creed. I'm glad I'm in the Lord's army. And the captain's leading us in our battles. The war's over, just battles. He's our captain. He's leading us. Now watch this. What a great truth. Many times, Satan alone, he leaves those alone for a while till their testimony has gotten a name established. Many times Satan leaves alone those for a while till their testimony has been established. Then they are sifted and they fall. Big trees hit hard and make a loud noise when they fall. You know, a lot of times a young Christian, he's not established his testimony and the devil gets him tripped up, knocks him out of the race. Boy, it seems like after you get your name established in a community that God's... Now listen to me. You get your name established in a community that God saved you. You got your house in order. Your young'uns is in church. You better watch it. Because he gets more glory when he blows you out that way than the first day you got saved and destroys your testimony. There's some of you I walk through this town with and you're talk of the town. God saved them. God's done something for them. The leadership in this church, the devil would love to get you messed up tonight. What about you, preacher? Can I leave this parting comment with you tonight? Do you have any idea how the devil would love to get me messed up in Bowden, Georgia tonight? My God, you need to pray for your preacher. Appreciate you being here tonight. Keep yourselves. You got everything you need. You got the Holy Ghost lives in you. You got a Bible to direct you, to teach you. You've got a church where the Holy Ghost is. The saints of God give you fellowship, and we need fellowship, and we need each other. Take heed. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Thank you for being here tonight. If you'd stand with us, I appreciate it.